The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home, your world is limitless.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you on Wednesday morning. It's the 23rd of September 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. As always, you can text 51551 or email ryan at rte.ie. Great photograph on page 2 of the Irish Times today from Photo Press in Belfast. And it's a wall somewhere in Belfast, I suspect, with some graffiti on it. And we're well used to graffiti on the walls of not only Belfast, but every city around town, but particularly Belfast in the 90s and before. But today, the very modern graffiti reads, "Wear a mask, it hasn't gone away, you know." Referring cheekily to a previous post, a remark made by Gerry Adams once upon a time. But it's clever. Wear a mask, it hasn't gone away, you know. And speaking of graffiti, there's a great message from Eimear O'Neill, who we spoke to about Black Lives Matter, about her life in Bray. She's a wonderful guest, great insight, and very positive person. And she had had desperate things sprayed, painted on the wall around her area. Very nasty, cruel things were sent. But she woke up today, or was it, sorry, yesterday, she posted that the walls near her home have been painted with raised fists in a show of solidarity, which is a pretty nice thing to do. She was delighted. She wrote, "What a beautiful thing to wake up to this morning. This is painted around the corner from my house, and this is, I believe, how the majority of my community feels. Hate will not win. Pray for love." Well said, Eimear, and nicely put. In other good news, we located the very kind dog who gave a gift to the President of Ireland's surviving dog, Brode. And the President wanted to try and get the details of the dog and owner to say thank you and write a letter. Because Walter, the boxer dog, left a little parcel of dog treats for poor old Brode after she had died at the weekend. Lovely thing to do. And an email came in from Walter, who put paw to laptop to send this in. Very educated dog and very kind of evolved boxer, as it turns out. "Dear Ryan and team, thank you for contacting us on your show. And my name is Mary Cannon Early." Oh, this was written by the parents. Yeah, right. "And my husband's name is Sean. We are the proud parents of Walter the Boxer Dog, who, as you mentioned, left a hamper of goodies for Brode Higgins at the Oris. We, like yourself and many others, were terribly sorry to hear the sad news about Sheila's passing. We know how deeply upsetting the loss of a family pet is and the massive void they leave behind. The love that President Higgins and his wife Sabina have for their beautiful dogs is palpable, and the bond they share is truly moving. The hamper of toys and treats was a gesture to let Brode and his wonderful family know they're in our thoughts. And Walter is very much the centre of our universe. He sleeps at the foot of our bed. He travels everywhere with us. And we have met a lot of people through Walter and his Instagram account, @Walter_boxerdog. He was a massive comfort to us during lockdown in particular, as we were separated from my family in Donegal. He's the best part of our day, and we're so thankful to have him in our lives, and we're delighted to pass on our details via your show to President Higgins." So thank you very much. And a lovely photograph of Walter, who looks like he was invented by Jim Henson, full of character, probably can talk, and getting ready to watch the toy show of all things with his toy show blanket. Good on you. PPS, Walter would love to see a pet/dog toy segment on the toy show, and he volunteers to be a dog tester, a dog toy tester. Well, look, we'll just keep the kids happy first. We'll move on to cats and dogs afterwards. But yes, not a bad suggestion at all. And they were a lot of coverage today about the toy show, because applications for the toy show for children from around the world, which is a very nice thing, have been just so plentiful and so enormous that we're absolutely thrilled. So go to rte.ie and find the Late Late show and the Late Late Toy Show there if you want to get more details on that. Briefly bouncing back to COVID for a second, only on the basis of that, Boris Johnson appeared to kind of grow up a bit in the last 24 hours. He gave a very steady speech from Downing Street last night. First time I've seen him in ages being kind of looking like a leader properly. It was impressive. And we're quick enough to snark and snipe. But when he gets it right, he gets it right. And here's a little flavour of it.
"The tragic reality of having COVID is that your mild cough can be someone else's death knell. And as for the suggestion that we should simply lock up the elderly and the vulnerable, with all the suffering that would entail, I must tell you that this is just not realistic. Because if you let the virus rip through the rest of the population, it would inevitably find its way through to the elderly as well, and in much greater numbers. That's why we need to suppress the virus now.
Yeah, a little clip of that. I watched that and it was engaging and it was clear and it was concise and it was a good speech, well written, well delivered, and very different Boris to the one we spoke with Robert Harris about last week. So hopefully a gear change there for our friends in the UK. A new stargazing park is set to open in Ireland next week, where stargazers will be able to enjoy crystal clear views of constellations with some of the darkest skies in the world, in an area free from light pollution. What a lovely thing. This is kind of becoming more common, which is lovely. This is in breakingnews.ie. The park is set in the foothills of County Tyrone's Sperrin Mountains and is one of just 78 across the world and the second on the island of Ireland. So that would be a lovely thing to do, wouldn't we? Sit out and what is the stars anyway? It'd be a beautiful thing to do. Do you know who'd love that? Do you think the Northern Irish cat would like that? Would you like that? The Northern Irish cat's quite, if you didn't catch it the first time, somebody put it up there somewhere, and it's just a cat that sounds like he might be from Northern Ireland.
You a good boy? Aye? You're a good boy, aye? Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yeah, and we got a couple of emails in on this. Basically, somebody says, oh, this is a Belfast cat. Somebody said, no, it's probably a Derry cat. And they're trying to tell us the dialect of the cat's aye. And I couldn't tell you for love nor money what part of Northern Ireland is from. If you've any thoughts on this, of course, we'd like to hear. Colm Eastwood is the SDLP leader, MP for Foyle. He tweeted, in Ireland, an estimated 30,000 people cross the border every day for work. That's an enormous amount of people, and that's an eye-opener for me. The British government, he says, have no understanding of life in a border area, and this bill will have a detrimental effect on the lives of cross-border workers. A follow-up tweet then comes from Owen Doherty, who writes, work, diesel, 2 litres of milk, takeaway coffee, a pot of tea, grabbing lunch, meeting friends, visiting family, walks, runs, cycles, swings, slides, fresh air, purple snack bars, Nordy Tato, free Stato, love that. We cross the border every day for everyday things, every single day. Well, the award for great punnage has to go to free Stato. I'd never heard of that you have Nordy Tato and free Stato. That's winning for me now. That's made my day. Free Stato. That's brilliant. It combines one of the most delicious snacks of our time and history. You can't lose. I spent a considerable amount of time this morning upstairs talking with Jay Byrne about coffee slices. I'm not going to get into it in any big detail other than to say he described my way of eating it as being very posh. And I said, how dare you? It's not about posh. It's about mastering the art of a very tricky coffee slice with a shot of jam through the cream, right? Preferably country baked, the best of them, made on site. I take it home. I'll have a coffee or tea with it. And then I'll flip the thing on the side with a steak knife, if you have one, nice serrated edge, and I'll chop it like that. 1, 2, 3, maybe 4. And then you can eat it with a certain amount of delicacy, yes. But nonetheless, it goes in the mouth and it's delicious. Otherwise, you look like a slob. There's no way of keeping your dignity while eating a coffee slice or an ice cream cone without looking like a BMW. That's my suggestion. Now, Dublin needs a miracle to escape increased COVID. Oh, let's leave that, will we? We just take a minute. I'll play some nice music and we'll just get through this. Sam Bennett, hero of the week, will be quite content if his Tour de France success, says the Irish Examiner today, does not bring him celebrity status. The Irishman is simply happy to have proven his place amongst the world's best sprinters. Isn't that brilliant? He wants to achieve as much as he can in his chosen sport and discipline, but doesn't really want the bells and whistles that go with it. And he's entitled to that. But unfortunately, we think very highly of him and we're insisting that he takes a bell and a whistle and then he can go. But first he has to receive the official Bell and Whistle Award, which means that kind of another lap. Does the Champs-Élysées and then comes home, laps around Ireland, and then he can head back to his quietness. But his family have been great about it, and it's a great news story all around. Now, I have a pile of books with me here in front of me that have been sent in over the last week or two that I really liked, and I just wanted to share some of those titles with you. And The one for Halloween, it comes from Curragh Press, which is a lovely Irish publishing house. It's called The Halloween House, 31 putrid poems and rotten rhymes for October. Poetry is a great thing. Now, we spoke to Laura about her lovely poem yesterday about her mum. And a lot of people writing poetry during the COVID time. But this book of poetry for kids is beautifully illustrated, written by Riley Kane, illustrated by various artists, but it's lovely, called The Halloween House. If you're looking for a book for kids this morning, can I suggest The Halloween House, which is lovely. Then somebody else really kind of get books sent in to me all the time with a lovely note. Who's this from now? From Scaries. Pat Kyo sent this beautiful book. He just said, he read it. It's an old secondhand hard copy book. He said, it reeks of history. Thought you might like it. And he sent it in. Very kind. It's called A Cure for Serpents by Alberto Denti di Piragno. And I haven't read it yet, but it's a lovely size and I'm going to take it home. But thanks, Pat, for that. And another mention for a book called Famine Pots, The Choctaw Irish Gift Exchange, 1847 to the present, which combines two great interests for me, the famine story, of course, and the Choctaw tribe. And it's edited by Leanne Howe and Padraig Kerwin. Very nice thing to do. Leanne was born and raised in Oklahoma and is an enrolled citizen of the Choctaw Nation, which is pretty fascinating. And then Padraig is a senior lecturer over in London. But a nice thing to do, and another book that will be of interest to a lot of you listening today, as will puffins, which actually, puffins don't exist. You know that, they're just magical. Every time I've gone puffin hunting, and I have done so, I've never seen one. Living Among the Puffins on Skellig Michael by Catherine Merrigan is a book about the puffins on Skellig. I'm going to mark that under fiction because puffins don't actually exist in real life. They were created by the same guy who made the film Elf. And here's a lovely one because it's very cute and it's about nature. It's called An Irish Nature Year by Jane Powers. You'll love the cover. And it's just a very, very sweet day book filled with plants and animals and birds and creepy crawlies from all over the island of Ireland. And I just thought that was really lovely. That came in. And then one last one, I'll stop going on then. The Great Irish Farm Book. Every year on the Toy Show, we talk about these massive, big books that would be about the weather or, you know, like Fatty Burke's books, the Irelandopedia and stuff like that. This is in the same vein, but it's all about the farm. The Great Irish Farm Book by Dara McCullough. It's been in the news this week for very different reasons. He's the owner of the farm of the Rave. But it's illustrated beautifully by Sally Caldwell. And you'll hear more about that coming up to Christmas time, but it's an absolute beaut. Now, text 51551. Delighted to hear about the respect for the stars. Hashtag Stargazing Park in hashtag Ireland, says Caroline Cunningham. Gotta love the stars. Especially if you get the right sky. Ryan, you're not alone. Oh, thank goodness. I cut my coffee slice too. Best pastry in the world, but the only way to eat it is to cut it into four pieces. It's not posh. It's the only sensible way to eat it. Siobhan, I thank you. You speak. No, but it's terrific. It's true. We won't go on about it all morning. Just a passing comment. We already have two of these dark sky parks in Ireland, says Eddie from Wicklow, Mayo and Kerry. Great, we'll have three now. Go to darksky.ie for more. Well said. Marie in Fairhouse says, exactly the way I eat my coffee slice too, but I do just cut off the hard bit of pastry at both ends first. And then the sharp knife is so important. Coffee slices are my very favourite. Go, Ryan. Go you, and thank you. I've been to Iceland 12 times, says Larry, and never saw a puffin. Well, that's another reason why you should not visit Iceland. Oh no, but I want to go to Iceland, and it's on the green list. I mean, I'm not going to go today or tomorrow, but the puffins, they seem to hear me coming, and they go, no, we're gone. Go, let's catch, lads, it's him. And they go, puff. I agree with you about Barr sounding more like a leader yesterday, says Pat Burke. Walsh, I just hope that Trump was listening to his protege. Maybe too much to hope for. Mahu, yeah, well, Trump's having a good week. Judge Justice appointment is going to happen by the sounds of things, so it's good news for him. That cat you've been playing, yes. That cat sounds like it's from here in East Donegal, says Sean, in East Donegal. Is he right? And the cat seems to think so. Let's take some music, will we? At 17 minutes past 9, 51551 is the text number. We're open for business. I didn't realise there was a letter in the little puffin book from Catherine Merrigan's mother. Oh, she's a proud mammy sent it in to me. Nearly 83, good on you. And you'll enjoy the Late Late Show, it's great. I hope you enjoyed this little book by my daughter, Catherine, who works as a guide on Skellig Michael. Okay, of course. It's been closed, but hopefully you'll get out there sometime. Yeah, I got close enough to it during the summer. Beautiful morning, I must say. out on the sea there. But no, and as they say, the puffins are fake news. I'm like a puffin denier. They don't exist. Have you been to the Salty Islands in Wexford? I haven't, but you'll definitely see puffins there. I won't. They don't exist. There are lots of puffins over on Lambay Island, said a lying texter. A wonderful place to visit with magnificent walks and views. There's even wallabies over there too. Yeah, well, I believe that. Elsewhere, in August, we went to the Dark Sky Reserve in Kerry to see the Perseid showers. Is that how you say that? Yeah. Obviously, the point of it being that there's no light pollution. The amount of cars pulling in and keeping their lights on was infuriating. Mm. My cousin was a teaching assistant, says a text from Susan in Waterville. Gorgeous Waterville. Pass through there in the summertime too. Anyway, the teacher said to the class, "Oh no, seahorses are like mermaids. They don't exist." Sounds like you're puffins. Yeah, I agree with you. I've never seen a seahorse either. And it's funny that you're on your way to the Listowel races on civil defence duty. You'll see some seahorses there, maybe. Unlikely. Or maybe some puffins. If you can't find a puffin in Iceland, I hear Tesco have them. Thank you, Stuart. Very good. And just stopped into Supervalue in Swords to buy a coffee slice. I'm going home to have a cuppa and enjoy every bite of that. Yeah. Well, I was listening to Shay talking about it this morning and I thought, I was salivating. God, I want one for breakfast. I can see clearly now Lorraine has gone. Says Caroline, one of the classics from our friends Double Z Creative about dating a girl. So clearly remember that. Delighted the lads are back. Yes, they are back. Zig Zag Ray Darcy back in November, Sunday evenings, 6:30. What a welcome splash of colour in a grey world. Great decision all round. Great show. And welcome back, lads. It's good to have you back in the world. Just what we needed, actually. We spoke to Laura yesterday at some length about her mother and her father and how she was coping with the whole notion of she actually did bring her mum to the nursing home for the first time and then COVID crashed in on them and so on. But really, she struck a chord with you. And I promised you I'd bring some of your comments to you. So I'm going to do that now. One comes in to say, I'm listening to Laura and sitting here with tears on my cheeks because our mum went to, in 5 years ago, into a home thinking she was going into a hospital. And it broke all of our hearts and I never got over the guilt because I'm next of kin and signed all the forms and visits were so hard, some with tears of joy and more with sadness though, leaving her and telling her lies about I'd be coming back later to bring her home and all of this. But time passes so quickly, she now has very few words, but when she does speak, she will always manage to say to me only, I'll go home with you now. And I fight the tears so she won't wonder why I'm crying. And she doesn't know me as her daughter. I think she thinks I'm her sister. The conversation is one-sided from me always speaking to her as if she's a child and asking her about her mammy and her siblings. She has no memories of her 7 children. And people say, how do you go and deal with all of that? But I say, I have memories of her, great memories, including the wooden spoon or the dishcloth. So I pray for everyone's parents with dementia. It's like losing your parent twice. Thank you for that thoughtful text or message, I should say, and wish you and your family well. Tell Laura, says another, she shouldn't be feeling guilty as it's part of the dementia journey diagnosis. She is still very much part of her mam's life, so be kind to yourself. Well said. Another says, Laura's telling my story. I was in the exact same position with all the regret. Are we doing right by dad? Did we do enough? It's heartbreaking. And the hardest part is when people who know nothing about your situation tell you, what a pity it is that he's there and could we not keep him at home? That's pretty unhelpful. Did people actually say that to him? Could you not keep him at home now? No, this is desperate. Today's hardship, as you say, can be tomorrow's pain for anyone. I work on a reception in a nursing home, says another. I love going into work every morning, although I don't call it work. I embrace each day and I treat each resident as if they were my own mum or dad. I treat them with respect, gentleness and tender loving care. I share the giggles and the fun, the laughter, which aren't physically seen by the relatives. I can assure you, if I haven't lived with your loved ones, I care for them as if they were my own, which is a lovely thing to say. And we heard a lot about that. We're talking about the hospice experience and how people are so good and kind to what should be strangers, but they become family of sorts. Teresa says, quick thought, my 95-year-old dad post-stroke. He's at home with mum with her own health problems. Out of the blue, they received a letter from a neighbour, John, and it brightened up their day. It was an unexpected joy. Someone just thought of them. So please ask listeners, maybe send a letter to anyone at home who might be feeling a bit isolated. A small note or a postcard can make a difference. What a lovely thought. And whoever that guy, John, is, what a kind thing to do. There are more. So thank you, and as I say, for that, appreciate it. 51551 is the text number. More for you after this. Nine 27. If you happen to pass me by in traffic in the last 48 hours, you may have seen me either screaming, shouting, or nearly crying. And you might think, God, he's really quite lost it now. He's off his rocker. The reason is that Jim, my friend Jim Sheridan from the house band, is kind of guiding me a little bit for the opening number of the toy show. And he sent me what's called a backing track. This is the big number track behind the song I'm going to sing for the start of the show. And in order to get it, as he says, get it into your bones, I've been driving along with the lyrics sitting on the passenger seat, blaring this track and singing like a demented person, because it's a big song and it asks a lot of the poor creature singing it, but we're getting there. So I'm going to meet Jim after this show for yet another go at it. He has the patience of many, many saints. Many.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
I was drinking a Yop, Fruit of the Forest flavour only, thank you very much, the other morning, and I was being mocked by the team, as I normally am, and they said, one of them said that they'd heard a comment about Yakult and saying, somebody had posted something saying that Yakults are basically Yops that went to Trinity. And I thought, that's quite funny. That's funny. Here's Wallace Bird, more Irish music, like this. Whew, that's one hell of a tune. That's Wallace Bird. My fellow puffin deniers, I've seen a text says, I've seen a yeti chasing a mermaid that was riding sugar, but I've never seen a puffin. Of course you haven't, because that's because they don't exist. Isn't that right, Northern Ireland Cat? We've got to say goodbye for now. Stay tuned to Clare Byrne. Have a great day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.